from Northern California. It's the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Thursday, October 30th, 2025, the day before Halloween. It's supposed to be fall, right? It's supposed to be nice and cool, but we've got a toasty 84 degrees here in Northern California. Kind of ridiculous. I'm hoping trick-or-treating, you know, the kids go out at night. They're not going to be sweating when they're out collecting their Butterfingers, or if they go to that guy that everybody hates in the neighborhood, their little Bible pamphlets and toothbrushes. It's Big Steve, man. It's the day before Halloween, but we got stuff that's scarier than any Halloween horror story. Today on the podcast, you're going to hear a story that spotlights the strength and resiliency of an Ohio man who's been incarcerated for 25 years for a crime that he says he didn't commit. And there's evidence to prove it. Marvin Deering's going to be on the show with us here in just a few minutes. We've also, a little bit later on, we're going to hear a special message from Tyrone Brewer Jr., another PenPals.buzz member. Tyrone reached us at 888-2-PENPAL. That's 888-273-6725 to send us a message, which we'll be sharing with everybody on the show here towards the end of the episode today. Tyrone Brewer Jr. But first, Marvin Deering, a new member of PenPals.buzz, where you can learn a little more about him and see his photos. I'm going to read a little excerpt from his PenPal profile, then we'll get him on the line here with us and chat with him. So he writes, "Although I'm incarcerated for a crime I didn't commit, I remain optimistic and smile through the darkest moments. The journey of life is a constant learning experience to inspire growth and development. Together, we can inspire each other to develop the hidden jewels that lie within the treasure of possibility." That's some deep stuff. And we have Marvin Deering from the Toledo Correctional Institution in Ohio joining us on the phone today. And Marvin, could you share a little of your story? How'd you end up getting charged? How were you convicted? And then talk a little about this new evidence that I hear proves your innocence.
Okay, yes, sir, Mr. Newman. As Mr. Newman just stated, my name is Marvin Deering, and I've been incarcerated in Ohio prison for 25 years for a crime I didn't commit. It all started on January 3rd, the year 2000. I was driving and was pulled over by detectives who stated an eyewitness to a crime claimed he saw a murder suspect driving the car, similar to the car I was driving, while the suspect committed a murder. I was took to the police station and forced to undergo a violent interrogation. I was repeatedly punched by these detectives and told to confess to this murder, and I will only serve 7 years in prison. I was then placed in a photo lineup while the eyewitness to the crime was asked to select the person he saw shoot the victim. The eyewitness never ID'd me as the perpetrator to this crime.
Did they pick somebody else?
Well, I'm not sure if they did or they didn't, but I know when I went to trial, you know, this same eyewitness was placed on the witness stand and he was asked in a direct cross-examination by my attorney, did you or did you not see my client, Mr. Deering, shoot this victim, commit this crime? And an eyewitness looked at me, looked at my attorney, and he said no.
Wow. So the eyewitness didn't pick you, didn't recognize you from the photo lineup, and then somehow you're still charged and indicted. How did that happen?
I don't know. It was clear it's an error in justice.
Yeah. So you weren't going to plead.
Society is judicial.
Yeah. You're knowing that you're innocent, you're not going to plead guilty to something. So many people, you see him just plead guilty and take whatever the deal is. But I'm sure you're thinking at this point, like, hell no, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to give up my life for something I didn't do. So you go to trial.
Right.
And then what happens at the trial?
I was confronted by my attorneys prior to the trial who stated, he said, look, it's better off that you waive your right to a jury trial and let the judge decide, because there's no evidence here. There's no evidence that you committed a crime. You have one eyewitness. This one eyewitness says he never saw you committed a crime.
Yeah.
There was never a motive or relationship established between the victim and you. So it would make no sense to have a jury trial. So I committed the very wrong, clear judgment of error on the confidence of my attorneys to actually waive my right for a jury trial and allow the trial to proceed with just one judge to decide.
And this trial, I read somewhere where we're looking into your case, and I read something about this trial, as significant as the charges were, it only lasted for 3 days. So I was thinking you had a jury, so it was just this one judge, and who knows? I mean, you know how judges can be.
Right.
And this one judge sentences you 18 years to life after just a three-day trial.
There was nothing that the state could present during in a murder trial. When you got a trial like this where the state doesn't put enough effort in establishing a motive, this, you got one eyewitness who's saying, this ain't the guy. Y'all got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I mean, then, you know, that minimizes the trial down to a even shorter period.
You get pulled over, man, and this has like got to be horrible because it's been so long. And I know you've been fighting this the whole way through. I saw lots of motions and whatnot from the very beginning trying to get this cleared. But, I mean, it sounds like you get pulled over because your vehicle kind of sort of maybe looked like some vehicle that someone thought they saw. And that sounds like that's all they have. The car sort of looked like something, but now some new evidence has come out, right, where it's showing another vehicle was actually discovered at the crime scene.
Oh, yes. The same vehicle given by the eyewitness that was used in the crime was discovered right down the street from the crime scene, burnt up with no license plates. The detectives bagged this car in a police report and told the prosecutors about this significant piece of evidence. What the prosecutor did, when my lawyers filed a motion to discovery, he's asking for all the evidence gathered in this case so that we can cross-examine this evidence. My attorney, we never know about this other vehicle that was the same make and model described by the only eyewitness. So we just recently discovered this powerful new piece of evidence along with DNA evidence that was collected at the crime scene, in which the detective sent to the state and told the state then and there 25 years ago, look, test this evidence.
Yeah.
A testing of that biological material was never even done. We are just now finding out and locating this DNA evidence that could be tested to prove I'm innocent. So you talking about evidence in my favor that had been suppressed from the prosecution, by the prosecution,
yeah,
for 25 years, that had the judge would have known, it would have changed the outcome of my trial.
Just sitting on a shelf somewhere because they didn't have they're just too lazy to test it, didn't want to spend a few dollars to do the testing, figured that's not worthwhile for them. 25 years, so I'm sure they've taken your DNA at some point, but they don't bother matching it.
Well, the thing is, there's a motion has been filed last year asking for the state to test the DNA, okay? The prosecution in this case now, because my case is back open, she has no problem with accepting this new evidence. And she's even saying, look, this evidence should have been tested 25 years ago. We just now finding out this evidence. Let's test the evidence now. But the judge who's on the case now has refused to move the case forward. The judge has to sign a final order for the DNA test. And so far, the judge hasn't signed it.
Isn't that, I mean, it's just, I see this stuff all the time, but hearing a story like this is just mind-boggling when there actually is evidence A lot of times there's no evidence and they're just like, ah, well, let's just lock him up and pretend. But now not only is there not no evidence against you, but there's evidence that'll prove that you're not the guy. And then it's just better for them. They probably don't want to be embarrassed by letting an innocent man out. They don't want to have to worry about paying for 25 years of your life. So it's just like, let's just sweep that under the rug and pretend that, you know, we didn't know about that.
Right.
Man, what do we tell people, man? What kind of lessons can be learned here from your perspective to other people in this, you know, in this situation?
I've learned not to view every situation in a negative light. Some hardships are there for us to grow and mentally, physically, and spiritually elevate to a high purpose. You know, we have to evolve. We have to grow. We can't allow the negative circumstances that we encounter in life to make us bitter. Because if we become angry and bitter, then we can't do the deed and the justice of sharing our knowledge from our experience with others. So it's kind of like a each one teach one thing.
You know, I'm glad to have you as a member of penpals.buzz. That's great. Appreciate it. But man, I'd be so much happier.
I'm glad to be with you.
No, it's great to have you, but I'm just thinking, man, I'd be happier if you weren't a member because you were out. Right. And I think we need to really push to get Marvin Deering out of prison. And if people are listening and they're thinking, well, we don't really know what happened. We weren't at the trial. Okay. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you're not ready to just open the doors for Marvin to leave. But hey, why don't we at least look at the evidence that they've been suppressing? They won't. I mean, when they're not going to look at DNA evidence, hey, let's look at all the evidence and then you can decide. But I say, you know, I was looking into what we need to do and what the people listening need to do to help you get out of there and help move this stuff forward and help this judge realize he can't just hide all of this. This is like real evidence. And we're looking up the governor of Ohio and his information. I'd love it if people can call this guy, Mike DeWine. His phone number at the governor's office there, 614-644-7357. And just call and say, hey, we've got to let Marvin Deering out. You've got to revisit this case. Let him know your feelings on that. You can also visit governor.ohio.gov. Yeah. And there's a contact button that'll send a message to the office. But man, I'd prefer people are just calling, just call and call and call until they get sick of it and do something about it.
Yeah.
It's a powerful story, man. It's sad that we live in a society like this where innocent people are incarcerated. And there's been studies that have shown up to maybe 5% of people in prisons in the United States are actually not guilty. And that's a big number. You're talking over 2 million inmates in the USA. And, you know, 5% of that is what, 100,000 people. You know, that's like bigger than a lot of good-sized cities.
Wow. That's
100,000. And I think the lowest estimate was like 60,000. So even on the lowest end, if you know, even 60,000 people, and I mean, it sucks that I'm sorry you're one of them. And I'm sorry it's been so long, but I hope we can help you out here. And Mike DeWine, Ohio governor, just let him know.
I have not allowed my present conditions of incarceration to destroy my faith in the power of the people. I still believe there are good people in the world today. And if Miss Kim Kardashian, if you are listening, I just want to say I admire your intelligence and drive in helping to free the innocent from incarceration. I'm not asking for your help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking that you look into my situation and give me your honest opinion. And anybody else who are concerned, we need all the support we can get. You know, I can be reached at Marvin Deering, 421-030-www.gettingout.com. That's Marvin Deering, 421-030-www.gettingout.com.
And if people go to Getting Out, they can search for you in the state of Ohio. The facility is the Toledo Correctional Institution. They might have to select that. I think it says TOCI. And then just enter Marvin Deering and that number, and they can message you directly. And, I mean, I've been messaging you to set this call up. I mean, it's pretty much instantly. As soon as they send that message, within seconds, generally you're going to get the message from them, and then you can get back in touch with them as well. So that's really the best way to contact Marvin. You can send like a snail mail, but it takes like 15 years to reach you. I know how that is now. So just getting out is the best way to go.
Yeah,
it's crazy. You send a snail mail, it goes to some freaking address in Youngstown, Ohio, and then I don't know what the hell happens. Someone's in the bathroom at the office, they're reading the letters, and then somebody scans something, and if you're lucky, one time out of 10, you're going to receive that. It's disgusting stuff, but gettingout.com, Marvin Deering, and Kim Kardashian, once we publish this episode, we're going to send her a link and post it up on her socials and all that. So we'll get as much traction for you as we can. And I'm rooting for you, man. I don't know the details other than what you've told me, but just when I hear something about a judge isn't going to allow DNA evidence, that's just really bad for our society. I believe that there's a lot of good people. I think the majority of people are good, but it's just the system, man. It's just sometimes I don't want to get too negative, but it makes me sick. It really does. And man, I admire your strength and your resiliency and
thank you.
Just your attitude. I mean, that's remarkable. And man, we wish you the best, Marvin. I hope you'll keep in touch with us.
Oh, for sure.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much for calling in, man.
Thank you for using GTL.
Marvin Deering, everybody. Great to have him on the show. Hopefully we'll have him on the show live here in the studio next time we talk to him. And I hope it's soon, man. I mean, get out there. Check out the evidence. You don't believe what he's saying. You say, I think they're all liars. All inmates are liars. They all scam and manipulate. Well, go check the evidence and decide for yourself. But don't make decisions before you actually see what's really going on here. Because once you've lived it, once you've experienced it, once you've seen it the way we have, you'll realize there's a whole lot more to the story than, you know, what we see on TV, what we read on social media. Lots more to the story. It's real people with real lives, and I mean, the statistics prove it. It's anywhere from 3-6% of people have been proven to be innocent of crimes that they were convicted of and spent time in prison for. And that's a hell of a lot of people if you want to do the math. I'm too tired right now. It's getting too close to Halloween. I've had too many Butterfingers. By the way, what's your favorite Halloween candy? We need to know this. podcast@penpals.buzz. Favorite Halloween candy. You can also call us anytime and just let us know, won't you? 888-2-PENPAL. And Tyrone Brewer is one of the guys that did call us and wanted us to send a special message out to all of the listeners. Tyrone is on penpals.buzz, and here's what he had to say.
Life is too short to be distracted by opinions of others. It doesn't matter where you go in life, it's who you have beside you. With that being said, hello, ladies. My name is Tyrone, and I'm live at Menard Correctional Center searching for a lady friend to help me escape these prison walls. I'm tired of the negative energy. I need some good vibes in my life. Who knows? Maybe I can romance your heart. Here are some other things that I'm seeking in a woman: that you are very loyal, honest, sincere, and open to an extraordinary friendship. So now, let me tell you a few things about me. I'm a poet/author who has my first book published on Amazon titled Poetry of an Inmate, Thoughts of a Prisoner. Also, I'm a loyal, funny, ambitious, compassionate, non-judgmental, goal-driven, down-to-earth type of guy. I want to recite this poem called Find Me. Roaming through the dark to find my broken heart. When I picked him up, I noticed he had scabs, bruises, and scars. It took me apart, the mere sight of my poor heart. I scooped him up in my hands and gave him a hug. He looked so sad in the palm of my hand. So I whispered in his ear, "What's wrong, heart?" He broke down crying. "Look at me, Tyrone the Great. I'm broken and hurt." He huffed and puffed. "I just want to give up. Love doesn't want me. I don't think I'm enough." Don't say that, heart. It's not true. Look at you. Even with scars, you are still handsome. One day you will find someone who completes you. I wiped his tears and laid him on my chest. I swear we'll get through this, I said. Now get some rest while I tuck you safely back in my chest. Well, I want to leave you with this. Who I am? Who I am is not a fixed statue. It is not unchanged and permanent. Who I am is a continuous process. If you knew me in the past, please don't assume that I am the same person today. I have experienced much more of what life has to offer. I have come to a better understanding of life's meaning and purpose. I have encountered new depths to myself and to others. I have suffered. I have struggled. I have endured through it all. As I come before you now, you're a different person than what people once knew. Do not give me a lifetime batting average, which is fixed, because I'm still standing at the plate. I am continuing to take swings at the obstacles and opportunities that life throws at me. Approach me with openness and wonder. Study me for the signs of change. Although my outward appearance may seem familiar to you, there is indeed a difference in who I am. I was letting all you ladies know across the globe who I am. So if you want to know a little bit more about me, let's link up. I did my part. Now the rest is on you. You got my info. Get at me.
And you can get it, Tyrone Brewer, by mailing him a letter. Tyrone Brewer Jr., number R65327, Menard Correctional Center. That's M-E-N-A-R-D, P.O. Box 1000, Menard, Illinois, 62259. That's one way to get through to him. You can also go to corelinks.com and add Tyrone Brewer Jr. with that same information to your Corelinks account. And then they make it hard for all these guys in Illinois. After you go to corelinks.com, you add Tyrone to your account. Then you download an app called Corelinks Text Chat. Once you do that, you open the app up and boom, there's Tyrone showing up on your contact list, and you can send him text messages through that app, and it's almost instantaneous. I believe it's 15 cents per message, which I say this every time, but now the post office is charging you damn near a dollar to send a letter. You can also send him one message for free right on our website, penpals.buzz/inmate/Tyrone-Brewer-Jr. Brewer is spelled B-R-E-W-E-R. And when you're on penpals.buzz, you'll see a little link, a little box at the bottom of the page that says, send this inmate your first message for free. Then you just enter your info and he can get in touch with you that way as well. So lots of ways to get in touch with Tyrone. Thank you, Tyrone, for calling in. Thanks also to Marvin Deering for sharing your story. We've got, if everything goes well, tomorrow, Halloween night, we've got a special edition with penpals.buzz member Jason Kurtz, the author of Secret Tales of the Supernatural. He's going to come back for a follow-up interview on the show, and we're going to talk Halloween with him. I don't know for sure that it's going to happen. We've got him scheduled. Sometimes they turn the phones off in the prison. You just never know. But if all goes well, tune in again. Come back again. Check in for a new episode getting published again tomorrow. Jason Kurtz, Halloween night, and prepare to be scared.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the PenPals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.buzz is a division of SnapTura Inmate Services.